Tim gets to sit back and relax this time.
I get to sit back and relax.
Tim is incapable of sitting back and relaxing.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Zachary Wienersmith from Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal. We talk about censorship and uncover the mysteries of the gay agenda.
We're geeks without God.
This is Geeks Without God. Thanks for joining us. I'm Nick Glover. I'm joined as usual by my co-host Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Hi there.
And today our guest is Zach Wiener, the award-winning creator of several webcomics, including Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal, and director, writer, and actor of SMBC Theater. Thanks for joining us, Zach.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
We're recording live.
Yeah, live at SkepCheck at the University of Minnesota. With an audience.
It is a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And like most good atheists, I imagine other folks are sleeping in.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I don't blame anyone who isn't here. Those that made it here are better than those other people.
You are all better than them. You should hold that high.
Yeah. We're at SkepTech, which it's a conference about critical thinking and innovation. And it's been great, but I think my favorite part so far has been the cat with the jetpack.
Yeah.
Not to pick favorites,
the actual cat with the actual jetpack.
The actual cat with the actual jetpack.
Just flying around.
I guess if you weren't here and you missed it, it was pretty great.
It's pretty awesome.
I don't know.
R.I.P. Mittens.
Yeah, he didn't have very good throttle control. Yeah. It was problematic. Zach, is there anything in your experience here so far that's been particularly awesome?
This is the only time I've ever done like a skeptic atheist conference, so it's been interesting. The crowd's a little more philosophically discursive than comic convention goers.
sure. Less asking for sketches and more asking for like the meaning of life. That's all right.
What does this sketch mean?
Yeah. Do you when you go to comic conventions, you get a lot of requests for like sketches and signatures? Is that most of your time?
There's sort of an economic quality to it, because we did it for free for a while, and then what happened is we decided, like, in order to disincentivize crazy people,
yeah,
we had to charge a little, so we thought, well, we'll charge a quarter for it, just a token amount, just to stop people. And then a guy came up and he was like, all right, I got $2.
Oh boy!
Yeah, so it had the exact opposite effect.
Yeah.
So
it's only a quarter. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
Now I'll get tons. It won't be awkward anymore.
Right.
This is the cost of a sketch.
Yeah. If it's free, I don't want to ask for more than one. Right. Yeah. That's.
So what do you charge now?
Kind of bit you.
Now you have to buy something and.
Sure. Yeah.
That limits the.
Right on. Your comic, you have done quite a number of comics about. Like logical fallacies, atheism in kind of in a general sense, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yet also your comics have featured God.
Yes.
it's funny. Like I love it. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming, since you're here and you're with us and you're a guest, you'd consider yourself an atheist?
Yeah, lowercase a. But.
Lowercase a. All right. Yeah, that's cool. So using God in your comics as an atheist, is that, do you feel like cognitive dissonance there at all? Or is it like just pure writing mechanic?
Partially it's just a sort of shared image that a lot of people are familiar with, so you might as well make use of it. Because in comics you have to get to the action quickly.
Yeah.
But I don't know, also it's sort of, it's just kind of funny that there's like this all-powerful individual, and the world is in this state.
Yeah, the guy with the big white beard. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
He's kind of a prick.
Yeah, he must be, or at least bad at his job.
I like to think he's like a Big Lebowski type figure.
Right.
Just kind of like chilling on his couch, smoking a joint.
He's
like,
not malevolent. Like,
just kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
Considerate.
Stuff
right.
To do.
Right.
I don't know what the rules are.
No, feel free to swear up a storm as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, we're okay with that.
We have filthy
you
minds.
Know, I mean, the fact is, in the comic, everything else you've got is made up. So God,
yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. It's fiction.
Slice.
So on Friday, we weren't there for it, unfortunately. But you did delivered us a speech on, or you spoke about censorship, mm-hmm. and as that's, I think it was as it related to comics.
Yeah.
Okay. I that's a topic that I love to talk about. My two of my favorite charities are the EFF and the CBLDF.
Me too.
They're both mm-hmm. champions
of free
speech.
Can you explain to our
speech.
Listeners what
yes.
those letters
yeah,
mean?
So EFF is the Electronic Freedom Foundation. Is that?
I think it's Electronic Frontier.
Frontier. Yeah, yeah. They're a like free speech and civil liberties, especially as it pertains yeah. to the internet, more so than anything else, like an open, you know, internet that's not so privatized mm-hmm. would be an important part of that, I would say. But then and CBLDF, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, is an organization that raises money mostly to provide legal assistance for authors who are facing censorship or, you know, being told that their work is lewd and can't be sold or...
It's being sued in general.
Yeah, yeah. They're both would be considered, you know, free speech or anti-censorship mm-hmm. groups. But I think some points of censorship, there can be like a gray area where, you know, it's easy to say like, well, comics should be able to say whatever they want.
Yeah.
But then those same people will say, example I saw recently was there's a online repository for 3D models for 3D printing gun parts.
Yes.
and including, making a weapon like fully automatic by adding some easily 3D printed parts that are technically not illegal to make for your own use as long as you're not selling them. And those same people that'll say, you know, be very gung-ho freedom of speech folks will say, well, the guns is different.
Yeah.
Or well... Except for here.
That's, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, what's your...
About, like, 3D printing of guns?
Sure. Or gray areas where...
Is that censorship?
Yeah.
Is that censorship?
I suppose it's tricky because when you turn a gun into information and you mm-hmm. block it, I guess that is kind of censorship. I mean, to my mind, trying to stop people from 3D printing guns is a losing battle. You're better off trying to convince people to be responsible because... And what are you going to do? Say there are certain shapes of plastic that are allowed.
Yeah. Right.
Certain,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's there's no way to put your finger into that dike, I guess.
All they'll do is just try to find a way to make something that can be used as that part that isn't censored.
Well, I don't even know that it's not. I mean, you can make something called a zip gun. I mean, I should say I'm from Texas. I've never actually touched a real gun.
Sure.
I'm a coward. coward American. But you can make something called a zip gun, which is basically two tubes and a little a piece of metal and... some black powder, and so you don't need a 3D printer to make
right.
it.
No,
right.
It's
so it's not necessarily a novel thing.
No, right, yeah, absolutely. Well, people have been carving out of wood expansion chambers and stuff like that for gun parts. I mean, if they're modular
right.
enough, it's not right. It's not necessarily a new concept.
Yeah.
Are there any situations, whether it's in comics or any kind of media, that you feel things are able to be censored and that's a good thing? I mean, is there any part of censorship that you find is benevolent?
Not in the arts. I think mm-hmm. I think it's legit to say, nuclear launch codes should be censored from
sure.
public consumption.
Sure.
And a lot of technology, there's probably a reasonably good argument that hydrogen bomb design should not be public information. Though mm-hmm. I can see both sides of that because they're hard to make, so we're protected.
There's
by
a lot of resources you need
yeah.
there.
Well, I think there's something to be said for if a person's smart enough to build a plasma explosive, they may have some sense of beauty in the universe and maybe don't want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
One would hope.
But I think maybe that's naive.
How do you feel about WikiLeaks?
I think WikiLeaks is great.
I
wish there were some way to enforce complete information transparency, because I think if you look at the history of war, it's almost always in some part caused by disinformation or information asymmetry.
Sure.
I think if you look at the sort of thing that comes out on WikiLeaks and other places like that, to me, when I read that stuff, and it's mostly banal and stupid,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. you read it and you're like, well, why did you feel the need to keep this a secret? You were doing more damage by keeping this a secret
yes.
than you would have been by just saying it out loud.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because everybody knew that this was what was going on.
Or at least suspected or could have guessed.
It's just like when someone gets caught, I don't know, like a politician gets caught cheating or lying for whatever reason, and they deny it. Or like the Lance Armstrong thing, and they deny it, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, actually, that's true. I did do that. And yeah. It's like, if you had just said that right from getting caught, you would not seem like such a fucking idiot now. Yeah, that like, yeah. And now it's like, oh, you're an asshole who lies over and over until you finally are so backed into a corner, you have to tell the truth.
Now that you can prove that I'm lying, I guess I was lying.
I think that WikiLeaks has a big reason why they get so mad about a lot of this stuff is a lot of what they're leaking is personal lies that are being covered up by these
Someone
people.
Who gets mad at being caught. And not that they did something wrong or were secret about it. Sure.
Have you ever been censored? Have you ever had a censorship problem with SNBC or anything like that?
Not really. Like, I mean, early on, I sort of self-censored a lot. I think just kind of by inertia, like, well, comics don't use the F word. it's also, though, so, for example, I would love to be able to show nudity in my comic, but I have advertisers. But I don't consider that censorship. That's, you know, they want to give me money. I have to.
That's your choice.
You're making an economic decision.
You could find advertisers who would be happy to give you their porn dollars for your naked comics.
That's exactly it, yeah. $4 for naked comics.
Porn dollars is, I think that's like $1.25. I think the exchange rate is.
Yeah. If you're having any cash flow problems, that's an idea.
There are successful adult-themed webcomics, even humor ones. Ogloff is got tons of cocks and it's.
I think that's their motto.
Tons of cocks. Come read about it.
Like poundage. Like poundage.
A gross of cocks. And they seem to be doing pretty well. I mean, they're cranking them out. Regularly.
I certainly don't know their internal numbers, but I mean, so they use a site called Project Wonderful for their ads, and which I use too, but I don't know that it's the highest paying. I love Ogloff. It's one of my favorite comics, but I'm guessing they're limited in some regard by the content they want to do.
Sure.
But they might have better book sales because people like tonnage of cocks.
Yeah.
And so maybe that offsets the loss.
Cock tonnage. Metric.
Is that a measure?
It is now.
It is now. When you were talking about censorship on Friday, I was at the panel, and I didn't bring it up then because I felt like it was kind of off topic, but I'm a movie fan, and what I find really interesting, the Hays Code is kind of the equivalent of the comic censorship code that you were talking about. And I think it certainly, when you look at the types of movies that we get today and the types of movies that we had under the Hays Code, there's absolutely a benefit to having removed that code. And yet at the same time, as a writer, I find the challenge of the Hays Code fascinating. And I love watching movies where, like The Maltese Falcon is a beautiful example of a movie where there is a gay character in that movie and you cannot ever say that a character is gay under the Hays Code. Gay characters don't exist, except they do.
Yeah.
And watching how the writers of the films would find a way to squeeze a gay character in there, make sure everybody watching the movie knew that character was gay without ever explicitly saying, this guy's gay.
Confirmed bachelor.
It's a silhouette.
Yeah.
Everything but the actual thing. It's everything around it. You get the picture from what's not there.
Yeah. Right. But at the same time, it hurt things like film noir, which I'm a huge fan of, because one of the things in the Hays Code is the bad guy always has to get punished.
Yep.
So if you're watching a noir film about a bunch of bad guys trying to plot some heist, it's like, well, they're going to fail.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see how well they fail, but you know that at the end they're not going to succeed. Whereas right now, if I watch a film about a bunch of bad guys plotting a heist, they may succeed or they may fail because we no longer have that code that's telling filmmakers that the bad guys, quote unquote, are not allowed to win.
When was that lifted? Roughly.
I'm not going to say I'm an expert on the exact date because I'm horrible on remembering dates, but it sort of gradually lifted. What really happened is people, much like the comics code Zach talked about, people sort of stopped caring. They stopped enforcing it. You saw a gradual lifting in the 60s, and by the 70s, which is considered, you know, kind of one of the really golden age of filmmaking, because that was the point at which the Hays Code was pretty much, rather than quietly out the window, the Hays Code was pretty much out the window.
Sure.
And everybody was like, oh, holy shit, well, we can do a whole bunch of stuff that we were doing.
Yeah.
So let's do it all.
Movies are good now.
So for censorship in comics, I don't know, one of the things that comes to mind for me, especially web comics, is Dick Wolves.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And,
which,
and
the Penny Arcade.
So, yeah, there's a comic online. It's a very popular web comic called Penny Arcade. Guys in Seattle put it together. It's mostly video game based, but they did a comic where someone is raped by dick wolves.
They're
and it's
not
off
even,
panel.
It just says every no one night knows, we're raped by dick wolves.
Every night we are raped by dick wolves. There's some people were very upset that they used rape as comedy.
Right.
And so they kind of self-censored and they removed that comic. Do you have an opinion on that kind of like, I don't say they were forced to, but they made the decision due to pressure.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. My take on that situation, I don't know that I found the comic that offensive, because although they used the word rape, the point was it was a punishment, like it was a horrible thing. It wasn't being treated, I mean, you could argue it was being treated sort of too trivially, but it wasn't a joke about...
it wasn't at a rape victim's expense.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But be that as it may, I think where the screw-up happened is that people wrote that it made them uncomfortable and the Penny Arcade guys were very dismissive and flippant about it. And so I think that's what created the problem. And in fact, I talked about this a little at the conference, oddly enough, or the talk I did the other day, that they started doing these T-shirts that said Dick Wolves like it was a sports team.
Oh.
And then they got a female reader who said, I no longer feel like I'm comfortable at your conventions because there are all these guys wearing these Dick Wolves shirts. And I think that was what got them rethinking it.
It does make you look like a pack of rapists. I mean, that's the thing.
It's a little too much.
Like just a pack of bros.
Yeah,
right.
Because I think that's what made the difference. Because originally it was a joke about it as a terrible thing, and then it became like, oh, it's our team. And that changes the context.
Like
a
team whose mascot is
a rapist.
Rapist,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's
yeah,
not...
Yeah, no, that's... I can
that's
understand that
cool.
being...
Well,
Molly and Nick and I are probably... primarily comedians, I think. We think of ourselves that way. We don't always work out that way, but
that's the goal.
In your own mind.
Just because you're not laughing doesn't mean I'm not a comedian.
We're primarily comedians, and we got our start in something called Vilification Tennis, which is a local show. It's an insult comedy show, and what we do is we stand up and we insult each other for an hour, and that's all we do, which is not true. There's other things we do, but one of the things that we talk about in that show is that within the framework of that show, nothing is sacred. You can make fun of anything. There's no too soon. There's no taboo topic. Basically, because we feel like if we ever say there's a topic that's taboo, what we're saying is everything else we're saying is okay.
Right.
And what we really want to say is, no, everything we're saying is not okay.
Yeah, right.
Which is why it applies to everything equally.
Right.
Like,
I'm saying horrible things.
But
these
jokes
things
have
are
to be
horrible.
Funny. That's the thing. If they're not funny, they're not just for shock value. You don't just get up there and make a 9/11 joke just to make one. You know,
we get to make a 9/11 joke. Hooray, let's dance around the stage.
Yeah. It's getting to the funny. Like, I don't know. Where do you feel about like shock value for the sake of shock or in terms of entertainment or
I think there may be some sort of objective value in just trying to be shocking. I don't really do it personally. I think I did earlier in my career, but my general sense is the point is to be clever, have an original idea, and shock sort of by definition is not. it's just sort of being offensive.
Sure. I agree. If it has a point, if it's being used as a tool for something, that's one thing. I mean, there are parts in... I'm not really... Gore doesn't bother me. Like, blood doesn't bother me. Like, we went and saw Evil Dead, the new one. It was, so much blood.
So much blood.
But there are parts in the movies where not what I was seeing bothered me, but what I was hearing and not seeing was, like, shocking. And I was very uncomfortable. And I didn't get angry at the fact that I was uncomfortable. I kind of reveled in it because they had a desired effect that they were trying to get from their audience, elicit, and they got it. I was uncomfortable, like mission accomplished. Like they had a purpose to it. It wasn't mindless. We should probably get to our five questions.
I think Molly had something she wanted to ask first.
No, I was saying five questions.
I
was just looking at the clock and I thought about the time.
I thought she was like, hi.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Tim. I'm down here.
You know, Tim, there's Skype. We can replace you.
That's a lie. Do not.
No.
This podcast would be awful.
So Tim, if you want to start with our first question.
Sure, I'd be happy. Our first question is, what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? And it can be in the movie theater or at home. It can be a movie you've seen 200 times or once.
So I don't watch a lot of movies, but I found out my wife had never seen any of the Rocky movies. And this is, so I thought it would be funny, and I did this, that I showed her Rocky IV first. And I said, you will not believe what Rocky I is like. And so that was her order of experience. She saw Rocky IV. She, you know, she's like, "Oh, this is hilarious." And then I was like, "Rocky, it's a good movie. No, not like a funny good movie.
Like an actual,
like it's
good
a great movie.
Yeah.
Like it was up for Oscars. Sylvester Stallone was up for Oscars for his writing,
and his acting.
The
two things together just blow your mind.
Totally mind blowing.
You know that guy from Expendables.
Rocky is amazing.
It's an amazing movie.
It's an amazing movie, and it's. It's brilliant because, spoiler alert, he doesn't win.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and that the problem with every Rocky that follows is that he wins. They take the ending of the first movie and they put it in the middle of each successive movie. And they have him lose, and then they're like, but we know what you really want is for Rocky to win.
Well, the Hays Code says that the guy has to win.
What was her reaction? How did she like...
I mean, she liked them both, but what's funny is so like Rocky IV is just like a terrible Cold War propaganda
film. Right.
And Rocky I, she was like almost crying.
Because
like Rocky I is a great movie. Rocky II is the same as Rocky I, but he wins at the end.
Yes.
And then Rocky III fights Mr. T.
which is kind of awesome.
He actually also fights Hulk Hogan in that
movie.
He does. I think he loses to Hogan.
No, he beats Hogan, but he's...
Oh, that's right. He throws him out of the ring.
At the beginning of the movie... I know Rocky film. This is really sad. Because at the beginning of the movie, he fights Hulk Hogan, and it's like an exhibition match.
Yeah.
And he thinks that it's all kind of fake. And Hulk Hogan is just kicking his ass because he thinks it's fake, and Hulk Hogan is just beating the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then he does the standard Rocky thing, except he doesn't have a training montage first.
Yeah.
Where he kind of changes it up and kicks the shit out of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. He switches to Crane style.
Shit. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. So our second question is, who is your favorite atheist character?
Man, I really don't know if I have a great answer for this. Can I say myself?
Yes.
Sure. I think I'm hilarious.
You got a lot of character, Zach Wiener.
Wait, well, you draw yourself in your comics.
Yeah.
And is that like a fictionalized version of you more so, or is it?
It's fairly close. I have this rule that almost all cartoonists, when they draw themselves, sort of draw themselves like offhandedly kind of attractive. So I hate that. So I actively try to like just, you know, draw the truth.
The oatmeal. That guy, I mean, like, he draws himself as almost spherical and body.
He's a fat dude.
And you look at him and he's...
Yeah,
he runs ultra marathons.
He's a beautiful
man. Fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
You'd think he was drawing me. Like it's...
Nick's like, oh, we have the same kind of life.
No. Lies. Cold internet lies.
Traitor.
Yeah. You kind of draw yourself like I imagine, like a crazy wild man that lives in the forest. Like...
It's pretty close.
Like kind of like,
I don't think that's far off, by the way.
Yeah, like shirtless hobo, maybe kind of in that neighborhood.
Drawing comics off the grid.
It's great. I love it. So our third question
before
is...
Before I say that, you've set a horrible precedent by picking yourself. Because now anybody who listens to our podcast before they come on it is going to choose that.
Yeah.
No, we won't let them. They have to pick Zach Wiener.
Yeah, they have to.
Oh, no. He didn't pick himself. He picked Zach Wiener.
Yeah.
Different.
I didn't choose this life. This life chose me.
Yeah. Our third question is, what's your geekiest hobby? What's the hobby that other geeks, when you tell them you loved this, they cringe and go, wow, that's fucking geeky.
So I was debating what to say, because there's probably a couple, but I study a lot of, you know, mathy stuff in my spare time, but I don't know that would outdo a lot of people, but I do, it's on hold right now, but I do have a little lab where I have some slime mold.
Oh.
Because slime molds can solve mazes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty neat. They pick the shortest pathway.
How do they know that?
Do they learn?
Kind
of. If they hit dead ends, do they not go to those dead ends?
What happens, if you build a maze and then you put like a piece of oatmeal, something tasty to slime mold on at the far end, the slime mold will spread throughout the entire maze, and then once it has the food, it will reduce to the vein that draws the path. It's interesting though, because there's no obviously central nervous system in a slime mold. It's in fact made up of tiny amoeboid individuals. So somehow they have a method for.
They work together.
They have chemical signaling that.
That's super cool.
Wasn't that like Egon's favorite toy as a child was slime molds?
Spores, molds, and
spores,
fungus.
Spores, molds, yeah. And fungus, right. Yeah. That's great.
So you could be a Ghostbuster.
Oh, definitely.
You're on your way there. You're on the path. Fast track to Ghostbusting.
I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to go, kids, I've got a great experiment for us to try. My wife's going to be like, what the fuck?
No, honey, see slime walls. We're learning.
It's science. It's science.
That's pretty geeky, though. That's good.
I like it.
You can actually get all the stuff for it pretty cheap, like from Carolina Biological.
I've got an 11-year-old sister who's super into...
Sorry, did you say Carolina Biological Equipment? Is that what you said?
I think it's
that. I want to make sure that I get that in the show notes. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to get that in the show notes.
I think if it's not, just write me and I'll tell you that.
Okay,
for sure.
My 11-year-old sister has been showing an interest in science for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And so it's like every opportunity we have to give her a present, it's like, here's a microscope and like one of those click-together electronic circuitry kits. Rock polisher. And like just... throw science at her until it sticks. Like she's interested. Quick,
Spend all your now.
Yeah. So maybe that'd be something. Interesting.
There's actually a book by Adam Adsky that's I forget the title, so I have to say the author, but about slime mold experiments that are fairly kid friendly.
Cool.
About how you could use slime molds to do computation. I'm the worst, really slow computation.
That's awesome. But
a computer's very bad at solving mazes. They're kind of dumb. So
awesome.
Organic computers.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Am I up?
Yeah, you are.
I am up. All right. This tends to generate the most conversation for some reason. What's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, favorite sandwich. Man. I guess I just maybe grilled cheese sandwich. I'm kind of a
boring. What kind of cheese?
Like a straight up?
Like American cheese.
Like just straight American cheese?
White, don't white use or American meat. Cheese or cowards.
They're lying to themselves.
So when you make Patriots. Them, do you butter the bread or the pan? Like which do you...
Oh, the pan.
The pan, interesting. Yeah. See, I always butter the bread.
I always butter the bread.
That might
too.
Be more efficient.
Yeah,
but less
but
greasy.
People do it both ways, so that's yeah.
Now I don't know. Are you vegetarian? I mean, how do you feel about bacon?
I'm vegetarian and raised Jewish. So,
oh wow!
I have so two strikes against.
So fuck your bacon. Yeah.
Anti-Semite.
I am not anti-Semite. I love Jewish people because they don't eat bacon.
That's right.
And that's great. That's great. I love vegetarians for the same reason.
It lowers the price of bacon for everyone
else.
That's
more for me.
I don't eat bacon at all. I was raised vegetarian, and I'm missing an enzyme set to digest pork properly.
So it's pretty gross when he eats pork. He throws up forever.
It's miserable for me and everyone around me. It's a very unpleasant experience. Yeah. So
do you ever bottom out and eat a bunch of bacon?
Never.
I deserve this.
Even the smell makes him sick.
Well, there's this psychosomatic thing that happens now where I associate the smell of pork products with being sick. So it makes me kind of queasy, and it's not pleasant to be around. I just don't care for it. Mm. But bacon smells all right.
Yeah.
Like, everything else smells terrible. Bacon, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I like turkey bacon.
It doesn't make you sick.
It doesn't make me sick, right. That's the best thing I can say about bacon.
The smell of bacon does not make you sick.
So I'm there with you on the no bacon on my grilled cheese.
I also love a good grilled cheese. Do you do ketchup, or do you just eat it by itself?
I ketchup is weird, so I'm like, it just seems viscerally like you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
But it's really tasty.
It's delicious.
It's delicious, so I don't know.
Tomato soup, do you do it? Are you a dunker, just straight up grilled cheese?
I'm always pro dunking.
Yeah.
Things should be combined. The soup pre-digests the food for you, so you're saving energy.
Yeah.
That's just science. That's
just science.
Yeah.
You're like a dietitian.
I was just reading that animals in the wild will often eat the stomach of an animal they kill first because it's pre-digested, so it saves
saves calories.
So maybe
for
we should be doing that.
Eating more stomach.
Eating more stomach content.
Yeah.
So maybe
just
the Scots have the right idea with haggis.
That's right. Yeah.
Because
we were talking yesterday about energy efficiency, and I think maybe Westerners should just eat stomach content.
Just drink more acids before you eat your food.
Because Americans should really be worried about not spending more calories. that's a big problem here in the West.
our new catchphrase, just eat stomach.
I just want to lay here and eat pre-digested food all day. I'm tired. Is Dance Moms on?
You can be snobby about it. You can be like, you using the calories to digest your own food? How wasteful.
How gauche.
I'm reducing my stomach footprint. All right, so our last question is, what is the stupidest thing anyone has ever said to you or said about atheism to you? Said about your atheism, about atheism in general?
I haven't got too much. I've gotten a little, like, now and then I'll get hate mail about evolution or the gay agenda.
Oh.
Wake up, go to
pick
work.
Pick a laundry, yeah. Take kids to school. Yeah.
The gay agenda, that's fascinating to me. I really want somebody to articulate that. When they talk about the gay agenda, do they know what they're talking about?
Or
do they
it's just, making you gay. It's turning everyone gay.
Is
that's,
that their agenda?
It's like their gay laser beam. That's
is there anybody,
thinking.
I'm
no,
sorry.
That's what, yeah.
Is anybody here gay? I just wanted to check. Ooh, sweet, we got a gay person. Can you, what,
can we get into the meeting?
Can you speak, and I need you to speak up. Can you explain the gay agenda to us? I'd just like to understand it.
Way worse.
Oh no.
Oh,
your
no.
agenda is so dangerous, the HRC is afraid of you. Like, that's terrifying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Transgender
I
agenda.
I have a little laser in my pocket that I can just point at whoever.
Oh my God, watch out. He's got a laser.
Wow. Wow. So, yeah. And it's, you know, it's still, it's a secret. You know, we asked. And we didn't even get an answer.
Well, see, Nick's brother is trans, and his mom is a lesbian, so we will see if we can do some research for you.
I keep on asking to get into the meetings. You know, my mom has a direct line to the mayor. Like, she's got a lot of pull in this town. She's getting roads renamed.
So far, her lesbian agenda seems to be to, like, do a lot of, like, family stuff and go ice skating a lot. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
pretty sinister.
And that's pretty sinister. Yeah, I mean, I'm in a band with... And there are six of us, and I'm the only member of our band who is not...
Heteronormative.
Yeah, who has not... Yeah. So, and none of... And you'd think, I mean, we rehearse every week. You'd think that they just accidentally blurt some stuff out.
You might be a carrier and not even realize.
Or you may have been turned gay by osmosis.
I might have. Yeah. I might have. But so far, they're keeping it. But they're really...
Tight-lipped.
Mm-hmm. Tight-lipped.
So you get a lot of hate mail about that kind of stuff then?
Not a lot, too much.
But
well, I mean,
one's a lot.
I mean, even when I do mocking religion stuff, I try to, like, mock real things, not just, you know, be an asshole. So
Sure.
It's just what I tell myself. I don't know.
Has anyone, like, come up to you in person and said, like, anything about you being atheist? Like, at comic conventions, do people get... Because, I mean, there are, you know, religious comic fans.
Oh, yeah.
And so I imagine they...
I did have a funny experience once. I was at Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle, and I have this shirt that says, you know, science ruining everything since 1543. And then it has crossed out things that science is... I think I have a heliocentric universe and... Adam touching or God touching
nice
Adam. And then I have unicorns crossed out as well to be fair.
Yeah.
But it's funny because so I feel like the God touching Adam part is pretty clearly an atheist image or crossing it out, you know.
Yeah.
And this couple came up to me and said oh, that's a great shirt. Can we buy two of those? And I said, sure. And they were like, yeah, we want to show our friends because we're followers of Christ and they're atheists and this will be in their face. And I was like, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, look at all these things you've ruined with your science.
I will take your money, Christian.
You kind of hope when they get home, they look at it and they go, wait a minute.
I think it's better if they just never catch on.
Yeah.
They wear it proud. They go to the mall. They're like, yeah, fucking science.
And they go to their friends who are atheists, and their friends who are atheists are like, I'm not going to tell them if you don't.
Yeah. Should we say anything? No. That's
awesome.
Great. That's great. Well, thanks for joining us and coming to Skeptech. It was great to have you on.
Yeah.
Thanks everyone who could make it here to our recording.
Where can we find your comic?
Oh man, smbc-comics.com. And can I plug? I have an event.
Absolutely.
I have an event called the Festival of Bad Ad Hoc Hypotheses later this month. It's bahfest.com.
And where is that going to be?
Cambridge on the MIT campus.
Excellent.
Great. Sweet. The MIT campus. I've always looked for an excuse to
dorky.
Go there. That's impressive.
That's fantastic. Oh, yeah. We're Geeks Without God.
You can
find us at geekswithoutgod.com, Facebook, iTunes, Twitter, all that usual tech stuff.
Tech stuff!
Hey, Skeptech!
Yeah! And we are, again, live at Skeptech. Thanks for joining us.
Yay. Thanks, everybody.
Wieners. Wieners everywhere.
We're geeks. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
Build a time machine, nerd, and go back and find it.
Yeah, you're MIT.
Are you a geek or not?